Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Tonight, breaking news, the new warning just as we come on the air tonight with the National Weather Service is now warning is a particularly dangerous situation. Their highest threat level for tornadoes and severe storms. Several states, Ginger Z is live in the storm zone. The threat of multiple intense long track tornadoes on the ground for much longer. Tornadoes could be at least EF3s in strength and potentially hitting in the overnight hours.
Catch your breath. Come on. Oh,
God. We're also tracking major flooding, the emergency, first responders, and hundreds of water rescues. Also breaking as we come on tonight, Israel now launching dozens of airstrikes on the southern Gaza city of Rafah. The Israeli war cabinet approving plans to launch a ground attack. It all comes just as Hamas now says it has agreed to a potential ceasefire, though different terms from what was offered in recent days. So what both sides are now saying at this hour. Here at home tonight, the protests on college campuses over the war tonight, Columbia now canceling its main commencement ceremony, and more than 100 arrested in California. Tonight, the news coming in, an American soldier has now been detained in Russia. Martha Raddatz standing by with late reporting. Tonight, the drama in court, President Trump's criminal trial, the judge telling Trump the fines against him are not working, telling the former president jail is now a possibility, the judge telling Trump, at the end of the day, I have a job to do. Tonight, the heart-stopping moments inside a Pennsylvania church, a suspect pointing a handgun right at the pastor, what then plays out. The ABC News exclusive tonight, Lindsay Davis interviewing the prosecutor who is now off the Georgia case against Donald Trump. Lindsay asking Nathan Wade, did you jeopardize the case by having that relationship with DA Fani Willis? What he says tonight about what Trump will face in this case, regardless of whether Wade is one of the prosecutors. Tonight, the recalls, two different kinds of planters' nuts recalled, and we'll tell you why. We also have news on Alzheimer's tonight, two copies of the same gene seen in many Alzheimer's patients and what scientists now say this could reveal. And tonight, the countdown at this hour, Boeing's critical mission tonight, Starliner set to blast off the first time with two NASA astronauts on board.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening. We begin tonight with this new warning from the National Weather Service calling this a, quote, particularly dangerous situation unfolding just as we come on tonight. Their highest warning for intense long-track tornadoes, possibly EF3s or higher, and on the ground for many miles. Kansas and Oklahoma in the bullseye. Tornado watches, in fact, across multiple states. The violent line of storms stretching from Oklahoma City to western Iowa. And then the severe weather moving east right into the Ohio Valley. Let's get right to Chief Meteorologist Ginger Z. She's leading us off in El Reno, Oklahoma, of course, potentially in the path of all of this. Ginger, take us through it.
Yes, David, I am right in the middle of that particularly dangerous situation tornado watch, and the darkness behind me is actually one of the tornado-worn storms about 65 miles to our northwest. We're going to watch this line and be one of many cities tonight that has to watch for those intense and long-track tornadoes that you mentioned. Wichita Falls, Norman, Oklahoma, Wichita, Kansas, up to Salina, all included. And it's just starting now. We're really going to see this low-level jet punch, and everything's forming on what we call the dry line. But you see the severe storms all the way back to eastern Montana, parts of North Dakota, Iowa going to be in part play tonight, Missouri, including Kansas City, but it happens after that sun goes down. Watch the timing as we track this east, western Iowa, down through Kansas City. It's about midnight, and then into northeastern Oklahoma, so even Tulsa gets it late, 10, 11 p.m. Then you look after midnight till 5 a.m., and that's when you go to eastern Iowa, much of Missouri, including St. Louis, early morning hours into Arkansas. So, David, tomorrow we also have a threat, enhanced risk that includes parts of Ohio. Columbus is in there, too.
Very dangerous night ahead. And Ginger, you and I have talked often about when this hits in the middle of the night. So please heed the warnings, everyone. And Ginger, you and the team stay safe. We'll be watching first thing in the morning on GMA. We're also tracking at this hour the flooding emergency playing out, and it's turned deadly now. Houston with 2 feet of rain. In just a matter of days, thousands forced to evacuate. Homes and neighborhoods tonight underwater. First responders making hundreds of high water rescues. A Houston police officer on a jet ski rescuing a man and his two dogs who were treading water outside their flooded home. And tonight, Texas now reporting the storms have taken three lives, including a four-year-old boy, when the family car was swept away. ABC's Mola Lenghi in Texas tonight.
Tonight, the National Weather Service issuing their highest warning, a particularly dangerous situation for large, long-track tornadoes for parts of Texas, Kansas, and most of Oklahoma. Our Oklahoma City affiliate, KOCO, tracking supercells.
Pay close attention to this storm. Listen to our language very closely. Listen to our tone and be ready to seek shelter if a tornado warning does come out on this.
It's the fourth tornado outbreak in 4 weeks, with many of the same areas under threat. While millions in the heartland brace for tornadoes, neighborhoods north of Houston still flooded after days of rain.
Oh, this neighborhood is almost completely underwater. Best case scenario, you've got a house on stilts that's undamaged. But even then, the ground floor property, cars are flooded out. But worst case scenario, you've got homes not on stilts, totally flooded out.
Timothy Boudreau and his wife using a jet ski and a tin boat to deliver essentials to stranded families in Riverside, Texas.
Well, I was actually a UPS guy here for 15 years.
Now you're making different kind of deliveries.
Yeah.
Well, David, floodwaters receding dramatically tonight, revealing the damage. This family's home getting swept away, about 100 yards away here, landing here finally. David, as you can imagine, a lot of cleanup ahead of these folks tonight.
Yeah, that is really extraordinary to see. Mola, thank you. There's also breaking news involving Israel and Hamas. Tonight, Israel now launching dozens of airstrikes on the southern Gaza city of Rafah, and the Israeli War Cabinet approving plans to launch a ground attack now. This all comes after Hamas today says it had agreed to a potential ceasefire, though what Hamas agreed to was different from what was offered by Israel in recent days. So will this ceasefire proposal go anywhere? ABC's Marcus Moore in Tel Aviv tonight.
Israel launching dozens of airstrikes tonight and approving plans for a ground attack on the southern Gazan city of Rafah, just hours after Hamas announced new terms of a ceasefire proposal that they're willing to accept. It is not the same deal that was on the table last week. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the proposal Hamas agreed to was, quote, far from Israel's core demands. A senior Israeli official saying Hamas agreed to a different deal than the one Israel had proposed, which included at least a six-week ceasefire and the release of Palestinian prisoners in exchange for up to 33 hostages. But Hamas is still insisting on that permanent ceasefire. Our team inside Gaza. Hamas's announcement set off celebrations. This little girl smiling, giving the peace sign as the news spread. In Tel Aviv tonight, pressure on the government to accept that deal.
Patience has been running thin among family members of those held hostage. They don't want this possible proposal to be a missed opportunity.
Don't mess it up, Mr. Prime Minister. Okay, don't mess it up this time. The hostages have no more time. No more time.
Overnight, Israel warning 100,000 Palestinians in eastern Rafah to evacuate immediately, warning soldiers will operate with, quote, extreme force.
David, as you know, more than a million Palestinians went to Rafah to escape the fighting, and now some are on the move yet again. And meanwhile tonight, Israel and Hamas saying they'll be sending delegations back to Cairo for more talks on a potential ceasefire deal.
A lot of moving parts tonight. Marcus Moore in Tel Aviv. Marcus, thank you. Meanwhile, back here in the U.S. into new fallout from the campus protests over the war. Tonight, Columbia now canceling its university-wide commencement. And in California tonight, more than 100 arrested and campus crackdowns there. Stephanie Ramos saw this again tonight.
Just days after Columbia University called in the NYPD to take back campus from protesters and to clear this lawn for graduation, the school now canceling the main ceremony, citing security concerns. Graduates telling us they're disappointed.
I have friends whose families are coming from places like Singapore, France, Mexico, and other countries around the world who've spent thousands of dollars on plane tickets. So it's definitely an incredible disappointment.
Columbia's not alone. Emory in Atlanta today, moving graduation 20 miles off campus.
I'm just really sad, you know, in the year of 2020, so the pandemic uprooted our entire senior year of high school. We didn't have a graduation for that, and then freshman year here was completely online.
It comes amid protests at graduations. On this Northeastern University live stream, students flashed messages on their phones calling on the school to divest from Israel. At the University of Michigan, students marching through the aisles. Overhead, a banner flown in support of Israel. After more than 2,400 arrests on dozens of campuses, tonight, new crackdowns. Police raiding an encampment at UC San Diego, arresting more than 60 people. UCLA today arrested more than 40 protesters in this school parking garage.
And David, back here at Columbia University, even though the lawn is cleared, the university-wide graduation is canceled. The university is saying they will focus on smaller ceremonies by school. Police do have authorization to be on campus through those graduation festivities, David.
Students who say they were affected by the pandemic in high school, now affected by this in college. Stephanie, thank you. There is also news coming in tonight from Russia that an American soldier has been detained in Russia, accused of criminal misconduct, and what the U.S. is now saying at this hour. Here's our chief global affairs correspondent, Martha Raddatz, tonight.
Tonight, another U.S. citizen behind bars in Russia, this time a U.S. soldier, Army Staff Sergeant Gordon Black. The Army confirming the soldier was detained by Russian authorities late last week in Vladivostok on charges of criminal misconduct. U.S. officials say Sergeant Black traveled to Russia on his own. He was not given permission. All Americans have been warned to avoid travel there and advised to leave if they are already in Russia. Sergeant Black's mother telling us tonight he had met a woman who was bartending near his army base in South Korea, saying she was later deported to Russia where he was visiting her. The mother described the relationship as volatile. Russian television saying the charges against Black involve beating a woman and stealing from her. Black's arrest also comes as the U.S. is working to free wrongfully detained journalist Evan Gershkovich and businessman Paul Whelan.
The State Department is trying to get consular access to Staff Sergeant Black, but has been unable to do so thus far. David?
Martha Raddatz with late reporting for us tonight. Martha, thank you. Meantime, in New York City tonight, the drama in court. President Trump's criminal trial, the judge telling Trump that the fines against him for violating that limited gag order are not working, telling the former president jail is now a possibility. The judge telling Trump at the end of the day, I have a job to do. Aaron Kuchersky at the courthouse.
Tonight, Judge Juan Merchan putting Donald Trump on notice. If the former president violates the gag order one more time, he could be thrown in jail. Trump today held in criminal contempt for a 10th time for publicly criticizing the jury. He was slapped with yet another $1,000 fine, the maximum allowable. But the judge today acknowledging these fines are not serving as a deterrent and warned going forward, this court will have to consider a jail sentence. Judge Merchan then addressing Trump directly, the last thing I want to do is put you in jail, he said. You are the former president of the United States and possibly the next president as well. At the end of the day, I have a job to do. Outside court, Trump defiant.
Our Constitution is much more important than jail. It's not even close. I'll do that sacrifice any day.
Jurors today for the first time seeing the documents at the heart of the case. Trump accused of illegally falsifying business records to cover up a hush money payment to porn star Stormy Daniels to keep her story of their alleged affair from voters before the 2016 election. The payment to Daniels was made by Trump's former fixer, Michael Cohen. Today, the Trump Organization's controller testified he was ordered to reimburse Cohen by Trump's chief financial officer, Alan Weisselberg. Then, with Trump's bookkeeper on the witness stand, jurors saw the allegedly phony invoices Cohen submitted, the ledger entries that classified the reimbursements to him as legal expenses, and the checks from Trump's own bank account that he signed while in the White House. And if Trump didn't want to sign a check, the bookkeeper testified he would simply scribble void in black Sharpie on it and send it right back. On cross-examination, the defense suggested these were legit legal expenses because Michael Cohen was Trump's lawyer. And they asked the bookkeeper, you never had any reason to believe President Trump was hiding anything. She said no. Tonight, David, prosecutors say they have about 2 weeks left before they rest their case. David?
2 weeks to go on the prosecution side. Aaron, thank you. Now to the difficult video, those heart-stopping moments inside a Pennsylvania church. A suspect approaching the front of the church, suddenly aiming a handgun right at the pastor. Tonight, the pastor calling it a miracle. No one was killed. Here's Eva Pilgrim.
In God they chose.
Jesus!
Tonight, this heart-stopping moment captured on a church live stream just outside of Pittsburgh. A man pulling a gun on a pastor in the middle of his sermon.
I'm thankful to God that I'm still here because he definitely pulled the trigger.
Pastor Glenn Germany was leading service at Jesus' Dwelling Place Church on Sunday. Authorities say the suspect, 26-year-old Bernard Jr. Polite, was sitting in the pews.
And God, they chose.
Seconds later, the gunman walking up and pointing a loaded gun at the pastor. That gun jamming. Deacon Clarence McAllister quickly taking action, telling our affiliate WTAE.
Once they raised the gun up, I jumped up, got him from behind, struggled him down to the ground.
The deacon helping wrestle that gun away. Authorities taking the gunman into custody. They say hours later, police were called to his home where they found a 56-year-old relative shot dead. An investigation is ongoing in that case, but so far, no charges filed.
Police say the gunman said that God told him to do it. He remains in jail tonight on multiple charges for that church incident. David.
Yeah, just horrifying video. Eva Pilgrim. Thanks, Eva. Tonight, the ABC News exclusive here. Lindsay Davis one-on-one with the former Fulton County prosecutor Nathan Wade, who is no longer on the case against Trump because of Wade's personal relationship with the DA in the case. Lindsay asking, did that personal relationship jeopardize the case against the former president?
The former top prosecutor whose romantic relationship with Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis threatened to derail the prosecution of Donald Trump is now defending himself.
Workplace romances are as American as apple pie. It happens to everyone, but it happened to the two of us.
Fani Willis hired Nathan Wade to lead the prosecution of Trump and 18 co-defendants for their alleged efforts to overturn the 2020 election in Georgia. But they soon became romantically involved, and when one of the defendants got wind of it, he moved to have them disqualified from the case.
A Washington Post columnist wrote, "What were they thinking? How could two seasoned attorneys embroiled in the prosecution of a former president start a romance and not see this trouble coming a mile away?"
You don't plan to develop feelings. You don't plan to fall in love. You don't plan to have some relationship in the workplace. That you don't set out to do that, and those things develop organically.
After weeks of delays and days of deeply personal testimony from both Willis and Wade, the judge found they'd engaged in a tremendous lapse in judgment, creating a significant appearance of impropriety. He ruled one of them would have to leave the case. Wade resigned that afternoon. I asked him if he has any regrets.
I regret that private matter became the focal point of this very important prosecution.
Do you think that you've done any kind of damage to this case?
None at all. None at all.
Even the public perception of it?
There again, this takes me back to the initial statement that I made. My private life became the focal point of the case. My private life has nothing to do with the merits of that prosecution.
David, for all the talk about his personal life, Wade says that he does believe a day of reckoning is coming for Trump. He goes a step further to say that a jury will, quote, do the right thing and convict Donald Trump. But at this point, a judge has yet to set a date for the trial to move forward. David.
All right, Lindsay, thanks so much. And by the way, you can see much more of Lindsay's exclusive interview tonight on ABC News Live and then later streaming on Hulu. In the meantime, when we come back here tonight, news coming in on that American and two friends, two brothers, all three found dead in Mexico. Tonight, a motive now revealed. We also have recalls involving two different kinds of planters nuts and major news on Alzheimer's tonight in a moment.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer.
We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, hear the motive in the deaths of that American man and two friends, two brothers, all killed while in Mexico. American Jack Carter Rode, who was to be married in just months, and Australian brothers Jake and Calum Robinson, identified by family members now. Authorities now say they were shot and killed by suspects attempting to steal tires from their truck. Three suspects are under arrest. When we come back, that news on Alzheimer's and the double gene found, and then the recalls tonight, two kinds of Planters nuts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
People who disappear without a trace.
Where is she?
The most notorious murder cases in New York.
Pure evil.
And the most devious killers.
There's a Hannibal Lecter feel to him.
For chilling true crime stories, follow the True Crime NYC podcast wherever you listen.
To the Index, a new Alzheimer's study finds 15% of patients who have two copies of the same gene, reinforcing findings that genetics can play a role in some cases. Researchers finding those with two copies of the gene known as APOE4 showed symptoms up to 10 years earlier than those who did not have two copies of the gene. It's in the journal Nature. Tonight, Planters recalling two types of nuts for possible listeria contamination, 4-ounce packages of honey roasted peanuts, and 8.75-ounce cans of deluxe lightly salted mixed nuts. We do have more on our website. When we come back here, the countdown at this hour, the Starliner about to blast off for the first time with astronauts in a moment.
Married moms in the suburbs. They've been called soccer moms. They've been called security moms.
Pamela Wilk is a so-called soccer mom.
Those so-called Walmart moms.
She calls herself a hockey mom.
I love those hockey moms.
The hockey mom trying to connect with the soccer moms.
In the 1990s, the idea of soccer moms as the quintessential swing voter took hold. Elections could be won or lost based on a candidate's ability to appeal to them. But were quote-unquote soccer moms actually the deciding factor? In a new series on the 538 Politics podcast, we take a look back at conventional wisdom from past elections with a critical lens. Where did that wisdom come from, and does it hold up today? Find the Campaign Throwback series in the 538 Politics feed wherever you get your podcasts. The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Finally tonight, the countdown is on. The historic launch of Boeing's Starliner spacecraft tonight, a critical test for Boeing and its ambitions in space. Their capsule set to carry humans for the first time tonight. Veteran NASA astronauts Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore on board, lifting off from Cape Canaveral to the International Space Station, scheduled to blast off at 10:34 Eastern. And we'll be watching. And I'll see you right here tomorrow night. Good night.
Married moms in the suburbs. They've been called soccer moms. They've been called security moms.
Pamela Wilk is a so-called soccer mom.
Those so-called Walmart moms.
She calls herself a hockey mom.
I love those hockey moms.
The hockey mom trying to connect with the soccer moms.
In the 1990s, the idea of soccer moms as the quintessential swing voter took hold. Elections could be won or lost based on a candidate's ability to appeal to them. But were quote-unquote soccer moms actually the deciding factor? In a new series on the 538 Politics podcast, we take a look back at conventional wisdom from past elections with a critical lens. Where did that wisdom come from, and does it hold up today? Find the Campaign Throwback series in the 538 Politics feed wherever you get your podcasts.